Blog Talk Radio.
What's poppin', people? This is your man, C Major. Definitely going to have a great show today, as usual. It's Wednesday. Have two special guests today. We have Miss Tia Day, an upcoming artist out of D.C. Definitely looking forward to speaking with her. We also have Mr. Kenny Barnes. We'll be talking with Mr. Barnes about gun control and how in our community, you know, we can team together with different individuals, whether it be Congress or, you know, our next door neighbor, and kind of curb this whole gun thing. But we're going to get into all that. But it's Wednesday. We got our radio. Step up our way.
I thought I told you. I'm a mogul.
Heads up, here we come, y'all live in effect. Mic check, keep your ears moving right to the deck. This is true hip hop, old school flip flop. With a new school twist, just admit it's hot. To the clock, tick tock, and you don't stop. Got in the street, taking over the whole block. Lock to the boys, we need to make more room. Move, get out the way, cause we about to kick in the door. Reports, new music, movies, awards too. You've never seen nothing like this, I assure you. Sorting through, separating fact from fiction. And who's who, what was it that a this one? Going backstage, you ain't getting text admission. But it's what gives, this here's a fast addiction. Listen, process is term to progress. You got that, we don't care who got next.
All right, people, we are back to Nancy Major. Like I said, we have a great show for you guys today. I got my co-host, as always, Ms. Copia Jackson. Ms. Jackson, what's really good?
What's going on, C Major?
What's going on? How you doing?
Well, good, good. Now, basically, I just wanted to kind of say something. Now, I don't know if you watched it, but you watched the fifth annual VH1 Hip Hop Awards, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, great. And I'm pretty sure you guys already talked about it and everything, but...
Actually, we haven't really touched on it yet, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but I just wanted to make a comment, really, saying that I am so glad that VH1 honored and acknowledged, you know, the greats like De La Soul, Too Short,
right.
Cypress Hill, Slick Rick, Naughty by Nature, because, you know, I was born in the 80s, but so I really didn't get a chance to experience that hip-hop sound firsthand, but... I mean,
right.
We should still give our respect to those hip-hop greats, and I'm so glad they did that because, you know, that's something that we really needed and really need to hear and see.
No,
basically
definitely.
For the young people, you know, today especially, so.
Right, definitely.
But I just wanted to kind of comment on that, and again,
no,
give my
cool.
credit to VH1 for doing that, so.
No, it's cool. It's another one of those bridging the gap type things, and we're going to
yeah.
really get into that further through the week, so we have some special stuff going on, but I don't want to say too much. Really quick, before we get into our first guest, Ms. Tia Day, I want to say to you guys, for those of you who haven't registered to vote yet, I know some places it has passed already, but we there's a lot of states that you can still register to vote. Make sure you log on right now, right at this moment, hiphopourway.com. Look on the right-hand side. We've teamed up with Rock the Vote. To give you guys an opportunity to register to vote directly on our site. It won't take you anywhere. It's a little pop-up. You fill it out. It takes about 3 minutes.
Exactly.
We feel that's very, 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 very important, especially right now. We're really going to get into the debate thing a little later with Mr. Kenny Barnes. I want to touch on that with him. But right now, we have another special guest. We have a lot of guests recently, but this is very special because they have a very, very unique sound, and we're going to get into that definitely with them. Miss Tia Day, can you hear me?
Yes. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. How you doing?
I'm great.
Hey, Miss Tia Day.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm just rushing and,
yeah.
you know, dealing with life. And yeah, but I'm feeling good
right.
and I'm notably flat.
Right,
hey,
I got you.
We're doing
incredible. Really wanted to have you on the show. One, because your sound is very different. You classify it as, and let me make sure I get this right. New soul, jazz, R&B, with a twist of funk. Is that correct? Did I say that?
Yes,
right?
yes.
Tell us a little bit about your sound, real quick, before we get into the more personal stuff. I kind of want to let people know what they're up for right now.
Okay, well, See, my style is, I consider my style to be very unique because I always get people telling me who I sound like. And
okay.
I think that's a beautiful thing because we all have to have some type of sound. Now,
right.
my sound comes across and I can make people reflect on who Billie Holiday was for our generation that would have never known Billie Holiday. You know,
mm-hmm.
so, or Etta James, or, you know, mm-hmm. today's artists, Erykah Badu, Jill Scott, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, I'm Tia Day, and I really get into what I'm doing, and God has blessed me with this tool, so I'm just trying to share it with the world.
Yeah, and I'm glad you did say that because, I mean, you do have a real jazzy sound, and I mean, I can definitely appreciate that because I love jazz music, and, I mean, hip-hop is an extension of jazz.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And plus, when I was listening to your music, I mean, your singing style reminds me a little of the popular female duo from the 90s, Zayn.
Oh, goodness. It
yeah,
was so
they had,
funny.
Yeah, they had the hits like, Hey, Mr. DJ, Sending My Love, Groove Thing. And I'm like,
yeah.
Are they also influencing your music in any way?
And you know, I'm so glad that you touched on that point. It was just maybe 2 days ago. I
mm-hmm.
was just walking around saying, it's a group thing. We got a complaint. No, it's a group thing. The group thing. I mean, Zayn,
mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to meet them in my teens when I was about 15. I was able to travel and be at the Jack the Rapper conventions and down in Atlanta at Mr. Jack's and in the underground and just performing all over, I mean, throughout the East Coast. And, yeah, they influenced me too as well, yeah.
Oh, that's, wow, that's really good.
Okay, definitely. Right. Well, since we talk about influences, and I know it's a cliche question, it's a question everybody gets asked, but I really like to, I think it gives people an accurate depiction of you as an artist and what helped you. So who would you say besides that group influence you and influence your style? Because you touched on a lot of them, like Billie Holiday. So kind of give the people an overall perspective of you as an artist.
Me as an artist, you know, in reality, we are living in a quiz called life. And every day I'm finding out who I really, really am. And just like your listeners and the people that see me on an everyday basis, at the end of the day, I'm just a beautiful person inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because I had a lot of growing pains, just struggling, trying to find out what really is my purpose. What's my purpose?
Mm.
So I know that one of the things that the Lord put me here for was to be a motivational person to other
mm-hmm.
people that have gone or still can be going through situations that I've come through and I've gotten
right.
over. So me as a person, I'm just an I love to inspire other people. People think that I'm trying to be funny or sassy when I tell them that I appreciate them. But me at the end of the day, I'm just who I am. I'm Tia Day. So
yeah, and obviously people love who you are because, I mean, even though C Major did touch on that, I mean, you did place first in the Bank of America Artscape 19th Annual Billie Holiday Vocal Competition, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a big thing because, I mean, since we were talking about your style, Billie Holiday is a jazz icon. I mean, how did that make you feel when you won first place?
I mean, Bill, I have to give praises and thanks to Bright Vision Entertainment because they were the ones who thought out and found that actual competition, which was a great thing. But from the time that he mentioned it to me, I said, I got it. And when I said it, I didn't say it with cockiness or being conceited. I said it so confidently. And I believed in it. But walking across the stage, And just feeling the love. I mean, I command any stage that I get on. That's just me. When I get on stage, I'm a different person. I don't have another name. But
oh, that's what Beyonce does.
Yeah, and
then
she's a Virgo like me. So, I mean, I can relate to that. But when I get on stage, it's just like I'm where I want to be. other than with my children, yeah, the stage is my children first, but the stage is the answer sometimes. Not sometimes, but all the time. So,
right.
Well, since we're on that topic of stage, it was a question I was going to ask you. Tell us a little bit about your stage show, because everyone seems to have these little intricate things that they love to do on stage. Are you the cool type? Are you the let it all hang out type?
You know, you would have to see me. On November the 15th, and the only reason I say that is because, gosh, I just get on stage and I just go with the flow, and it's like I melt like butter up there. And when I'm there, I can transfer my story to you without you being in the crowd like, oh, God, what is she talking about? Because, see, people sometimes tell me that, girl, you could be a comedian too. But I'm not being a comedian. It's just, I love to make people laugh, you know, and being on stage, like I said, it's like at home. So the way I act on stage sometimes when I'm around my family and friends, I get to singing and doing some things. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just off the hook on stage. It's crazy.
So you just got to see it.
Okay.
Yeah, because you just have to see.
Okay. And C Major, since he did kind of like touch on that with what your stage presence is like, your showmanship, there actually is a video for one of your songs, I'm Trying, on YouTube, which, you know, is really popular. And I definitely think you have the whole Mary J. Blige drama thing going on in that video. And it's like really cool, laid back, you know, not too overdone. Since you, of course, we're talking about your style, I mean, is there going to be more ways of us seeing you? I mean, are you working on any new videos for your singles?
Well, right now I'm not working on any videos. I've been doing shows around the city. I just did Blues Alley on September the 4th. Did the Nationals Park back in August, and I got some things brewing right now. I'm gonna be at the Stonefish Grill out at the Capitol Boulevard tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. So I'm just running so much, and it's just me sometimes. So, you know, I'm getting it done, but. Nothing in the video making, the video's not going on right now.
Okay. But, I mean, that is a pretty big thing. So, I mean, tell us a little bit more about when you were, like, you know, getting I'm Trying that video together. Because, I mean, that's what you're nominated for anyways, for the Velocity Magazine Award, so.
Well, you're asking me the video, what was the work, I mean, what did I put into it? What was the song really giving?
Like, maybe tell us about, you know, what it was like when you were putting that together and what was kind of your inspiration, you know, behind, like, going that route with the video. Because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, very Mary J. Blige-like with the drama, somebody who was cheating and, you ended up just putting them to the side because they weren't worth it, basically.
Well, again, I go back to we living in a quiz called life, and what's so funny is, most of the songs that you're hearing right now are just like my real life, but it's, you know, fabrication in some spots. But making that song, that was I really could get into it. And the video was I felt like I was a superstar making the video, the hotel with the cameras. But it was only one camera. But you know, we did it and we made it look very professional and very good. And I'm happy that I had a chance to do that under the direction of Mr. Bay Bright with Bright Vision Entertainment. But, yeah, I'm ready to do more videos, though. Trust me.
Okay. Right. I can definitely understand that. Let me ask you this, and I think this is always essential to understanding where an artist comes from, is you grew up in Northeast D.C. We have people all around here who are not familiar with the D.C. area at all. Because you have people all over the country who listen. Tell us a little bit about the upbringing from Northeast D.C. and how it molded you into the individual that you are right now.
Well, you know, I mean, again, and it's so funny is because we are living in a quiz called life. And at the end of the day, my situations, I had to go through a lot of things. And everybody, that's why we're individuals, you know, and we feel our own pain. But feeling my own pain, having a backbone, the family backbone that I thought I didn't have, but all the time it was there. I was just rebelling, you know, it put me in situations to where as though I had a child at 20. I'm very proud of my two beautiful daughters and had another one 8 years later, you know. Mm-hmm. And it just really, a lot of people don't make it. And I really want to be that voice for the community of individuals, young men, young females, you know. I just want to be that voice to show them you can do it. And I look at other people's stories like Keisha Cole, Murray J, Anita. Everybody has a story, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I just really hope that my story can touch and inspire people because it's real life. You know, and a lot of people get lost in fabrication and fairy tale. So,
yeah. Right, very true. 100% correct. And I think it's a testament to you, based on everything. You know, you kind of talk about it in the music, things you went through, you know, to make it through. Because some people don't, and that's just the reality of life. Some people don't make it, and it's definitely a testament to you. Be one of those people who are not only have made it, but willing to share that experience to help someone else make it. You know what I'm saying? I think that's incredible.
And then I just want to touch on something else. You know, the songs that I have coming next, though, are going to be more of a transition phase because, you know, it's, of course, we grow and we have to shed some skin. But I just can't wait to do it. I'm so funky. That's why I say with a twist of funk. Because I don't want to just get stuck at being this. I want to be all that I can be. And, I mean, you know, I'm just ready to touch on a lot of things. So people hear the pain. It's still a lot of pain, baby. I ain't got it all out yet.
I'm
loving the fact that I'm growing. I'm really growing, and I thank God every minute, every chance, every second that I get because I want him to know that he's doing it all. You know, I'm just driving the ship.
You must preach, don't you?
Uh-huh.
I said you must preach.
Preach.
Or do some devotions in church, because I mean, you definitely I can tell that you have God in your life. I mean, it's just, it's very powerful, and I mean, and that's beautiful to see. And also with that, I mean, on your website, you actually say staying focused is key, right? That's like one of your quotes.
Staying focused is key.
Yeah, you said that on one of your websites that basically staying focused is key as far as with you pursuing your career and where you want to go. As far as with your music. So, I mean, a lot of times that is easier said than done. So, because there's so many distractions like finances, work, discouragement, you know, with the daily struggles as far as with trying to make it as an artist. So, I mean, what do you think keeps you focused in still pursuing this music, and what words of wisdom can you lend to aspiring artists?
What keeps me focused is, as I mentioned earlier, my two daughters. They bring me so much joy now. It's life. People get in trouble. I got in trouble too. But, you know, they keep me focused and they make me want to. It's not just them. It's me being an individual too. But when I wake up and know what I have to do, you know, I have a song for them. It's not, I mean, it's like, and it's speaking to everybody. You want me to share with you? It's not a song. It's just like a little smaller.
I mean, go for it.
All right. Waking up early in the morning, feeling like I'm gonna really lose my mind today. Thinking about all the things I have to do just to get on my way. I gotta make a bottle, press off the clothes, check homework, and then think about me. I can't do this all by myself. That's why I need a little more help. Waking up early in the morning, feeling like I'm gone, really lose my mind today.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. Okay, let's do something different, because I usually wait to the end of the show. But after that, I know some people are curious. I need you to give your MySpace and your website, because we're going to get you, we're going to make some sales real quick. So let's make that happen. So please get out your MySpace and your website where they can purchase some of your music right now.
Okay. Well, my MySpace is MySpace, / MSTIADAE. And you have the website, the regular website, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. www.tiaday.com. Day is D-A-E. Everybody gets it confused and makes it D-A-Y.
No, definitely. You definitely have an incredible voice.
Thank you.
I definitely show our listeners appreciate that. One thing I want to talk about, then we're actually going to get into your single. I'm trying. Mm-hmm. Your debut CD that came out recently. It's called It's a New Day, correct?
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that project.
Oh, man, it's what it says, it's a new day. I just had to go the things that I've gone through. This is not a hard business. And I just, you see what people don't really see on the outside are the viewers. They don't see the struggle that everybody goes through. So it's a new day was, it's a new me. You know what I'm saying? Because I was a bad girl. But it's really a new me. And I'm loving what I'm evolving. I mean, you know, what life is turning out to be. So, yep. And Dance With Me is more of a little, I got a dance for that, too. You know, how R. Kelly got his little step.
Right, I got you.
So Dance With Me, I got me a little step, and I do it, honey, and it's real cute. It's real cute. I can't wait to get on stage to do that one. And then,
okay.
I remember.
You look forward to seeing it, too.
I remember it's just laid back. It's actually about my fiancé. He passed away in 2005, and I just remember how he was my Clyde, and I was his Bonnie. You know, and it was just, that was that period of time.
Right.
And, Jones and is one of those, I just can't help the way I feel about you, boy. I just want to get real sexy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling good and I'm notably lying. I'm feeling good. Yeah, that's the crazy one. That's the first one I recorded under Bright Vision Entertainment.
Okay.
So, yeah. The album
I'm sorry, let me cut you off.
No, the album is just, it's a new me. It's a new me, guys. It's a new me.
And we can tell because, I mean, you are constantly on your grind, and that's probably part of the new you and the new day of Miss Tia Day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have entered in various competitions, talent searches. I mean, you have your music has gotten, you know, major radio play. However, a real big one was being actually a finalist in Lil Wayne's Cash Money Records Talent Search.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get into that, and what was it like? Because, I mean, that's with Lil Wayne, and he's, you know, he's big, you know, today.
Well, at the time, I was, I had a young lady that I was dealing with, not dealing with like that, don't get it the wrong way, but dealing with on a business level, and she told me about the competition, and then I had a girlfriend who's a rapper, and she's a great rapper, by the way. Her name is Angel B, so if you guys are ever looking for, you know, rap artists, you should check her out. But she was also entering the contest, so we actually went and auditioned together. She made it to the finals, so did I. I was announced the finalist at the end, and they said that we were going to go on this reality show, and we were going to do something like how Puffy does, I Want to Work for Diddy or Making the Band.
Right.
It never
happened.
I mean, some good things came out of that. Raheem Devon's assistant at the time had snatched me up, gave me her car, boom. We talked. That was good.
Those things happen. That's welcome to the entertainment business. But this is what we're going to do. I want to definitely get into your single. And then I'm going to talk about you signing with Bright Vision. And then we're going to talk about the Velocity Magazine Award because you're nominated for three. And we're going to talk about the acting a little bit. We're going to touch on something, a little bit of the acting stuff. But before we do that, this is Miss Tia Day. I'm trying. Be right back, y'all. Right, people, that was Miss Tia Day, and that joint was called I'm Trying. Definitely a very high joint.
Yeah, that's real high. That's just something that you can bob your head to in a club, just real laid back and smooth. That's definitely hot. So,
thanks. Now, can I ask you a question?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Switch the roles now, turn the tables.
Right, okay. You see that, right? See how it works?
No. hip hop our way.
Okay.
Why did y'all name yourselves hip hop our way?
I named it that, to be honest, because I felt it was necessary. I felt hip hop hasn't truly been represented in the mainstream, and I think it was about time we take it our way. And what that means to me is this: hip hop has two sides of it. And that, I think that's what a lot of people fail to realize. Hip-hop has a block side and a boardroom side. We have those people who are representing on the streets, but we also have some corporate brothers who are just as hip-hop as the people on the streets. I think we forget about that. And the two sounds, I mean, the two organizations really don't come together. And that's what we want to try to do is bridge that gap between
I heard you guys,
that two.
I'm sorry for cutting you off. I heard you guys.
No, you're fine.
Talking about how you liked the hip hop awards last night. And I was watching the debate but I was turning back and forth, and I had a girlfriend call me talking about, you're not watching the Hip Hop Awards. So,
Right.
I just wanted to ask that. Go ahead.
We got you. And just to in that talk, that's something that we focus on too. We definitely focus on the politics of things, and we definitely try to focus on, the Block side of things. Because it's okay to have fun, but you should also know and be cognizant of what's going on around you.
Right.
Especially during this time of what's going on right now. If y'all don't know, we just gave some people that I'm not sure what they're going to do with $700 billion, and I think the hip-hop community needs to say, okay, where's our money going? And it's okay to say that. You know, everybody else does. So that's kind of, what we represent as far as that goes. Well, I'm going to get back to you now.
Okay.
Velocity Magazine Awards. Tell us a little bit about the Velocity Magazine Awards, and we understand you have 3 nominations. Just kind of touch on that really quick.
Oh, man, that feels so good, man. I have 3 nominations. I was nominated for 3 different things. And
are you anxious? Wow. I mean, wow, that's crazy.
Yes, I got Best Female, Best Female R&B, Best Video, and Best Album. So I just look at it this way, if it got nominated 3 times, I got to walk away with something. So, that's another thing that's just so exciting, just getting ready for that event. And it's a red carpet event, and Mr. Anderson is really enthused about what he's put together. And I'm glad that I'm able to break history with him. It's gonna be his first show. So, but listen, have you guys heard about a Velocity Magazine Awards up in New York? Is he doing it in New York too?
Wow.
I don't know. I actually have him in the chat room right now. He just said you have a great voice. That's why you're a 3-time nominee. That's what Anthony just said. I'm actually speaking with him as it's going on right now.
I'll ask him. Oh, okay. And you know what? I tell him, I said, thank you so much. And that's one thing, guys, that I really do have. That's one of my probably flaws. Is when people tell me, oh, you sound good. Or, I tell them, oh, okay, thank you, but I really don't want to seem like I'm real excited, and then I feel like, are you crazy? People are giving you a compliment, but I don't want to seem like I'm so excited,
Right.
Because it seems like every time I get real, real excited about something, it just never, it never falls through. So, but I'm going to say thank you.
Well, I
can definitely understand. What I want to do now is because we have other interviews and want to make sure everyone gets an equal amount of time, I want you to make sure people know once again where they can reach you at, where they're going to be seeing you at coming soon. We know the Velocity Magazine Award is one, but just kind of go down the list of areas people will be able to see you so they can reach out to you. Because, I mean, the response I'm getting in the chat room and emails I've been receiving as we've been on the line have been incredible. So people really want to reach out to you and really want to purchase your music.
Now, I heard you, but I couldn't understand you, so can you say
that? Okay, can you hear me a little better now?
Huh?
Can you hear me a little better now?
Yes.
Okay. What I was saying was, we really want you to basically give your MySpace again and give your website where people can purchase your music. You've been getting a great response, and we want to make sure that everyone knows where to purchase your music.
Okay. Well, again, the MySpace is MySpace/MSTIADAE. You can also get me at www.tiadae.com. And the locations where you can purchase the CDs, and it can be purchased online, CD Baby, Target.com, BestBuy.com, iTunes, if you just want to get your own separate. If you don't want to get the whole album, but I just encourage people to get the whole album because it really has a message, too. So, Bright Vision Entertainment is at Bright Vision ENT.com. So, you know. And then, like I said, I'll be at the Stonefish Grill tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. And just have fun there. And I'll be posting the rest of the show dates and things like that on my website.
But okay.
Running.
Okay. Well, it sounds good. We definitely look forward to meeting you and seeing you perform. And hopefully we might get a little taste of the dance at the Velocity Magazine Awards just a little bit.
You say what?
Of your dance. We might get a little taste at the award show.
Oh, well, see, I'm not doing dance with me. I'm trying.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, I got you.
Anthony has a great, he's visualized a nice screening to go behind it. So.
Okay, I got you. Well, it was definitely a pleasure. And like I said, we definitely look forward to seeing you on November 15th.
Oh, yes, right. Definitely. So I'm going to keep an eye out for you. And again, I said this the last time, too. I hope we catch you on the red carpet. Because, you know, we're going to try to seek everybody out, the people, the nominees. So we want to catch you on the carpet, all right?
All right. And thank you, guys, and you have a blessed evening, okay?
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, people, that was Miss Tia Day. Definitely amazing voice. I think she did an incredible job. I'm looking forward to her performance at the Velocity Magazine Awards November 15th. Once again, like I've been telling you guys all the time, we have exciting shows. We like to make sure we cover everything, and that is from the block to the boardroom. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to play a quick song, and when we come back, we will have Mr. Kenny Barnes of RootInc.org. And I really want to get into it. He's someone I definitely admire, and his story is very intriguing. So please pay attention, because we're going to talk about the gun violence that's going on. We're going to talk about how we as a community have, one thing is we are up against the biggest election of our lives, and we need to treat it as such. And two is how we can come together. I call it old school and new school if you want, but the elders and the hip-hop generation, how we can come together to kind of bridge this gap. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? Instead of going into the song, what I'm going to do, I think, is just jump into Mr. Barnes right now, because I want to make sure he has ample time to speak, and we're going to hear on his story. Mr. Barnes, can you hear me?
Yes. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you, sir?
How are you doing?
I'm
Hi,
doing
Mr.
good.
Barnes.
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, good, good. Nice to be
great,
in your
Great,
great.
I'm on your show.
Good, thank you. I appreciate that, sir. I really wanted to really have you on the show. One reason, because of your story. A lot of people who are outside of the DMV area might not know your story. So if you can briefly touch on your story and how you started RootInc.org.
Yes, I'm a talent disability instead of my school. I was working on my degree in clinical psychology. I was working on my doctorate, as a matter of fact. Loyola in Baltimore. I had the worst schools in any parent money, and that was that my son was brutally murdered. This was in September 2001. He owned a clothing store in U Street, Northwest, which is the pretty gentrified area in Washington, D.C. now, for those people that don't live in Washington. It was a young man, 17 years of age, that walked in the store and pulled a gun out and shot him and murdered him on the spot. And from that, there was a number of revelations given to me. One, that it seemed like the fact that black-on-black violence beyond young people being killed was not giving the attention that it should be given. Because it seemed like when some of us get killed, it's not like getting killed in Georgetown or some expensive area down where you hit all on the news. And the seventh thing that had to come to the realization was that what is creating this violent young people, probably the most violent young people we've ever had in our history. And my training and common sense tell me that's learned game. We're not about pulling them like that. That's how I came up with the acronym Root. Which means that first of all, we need to understand the problems existing in our country, in our cities, in our community. The fight gun violence, it's an epidemic proportions. And it's everywhere you go. But we need to understand that these problems are all of our problems, and not black light issues. Plus the acronym ROOT, which stands for Reaching Out to Others Together. But the acronym has a dual purpose. We also need to get to the root of the problem. We still need to start using these photo op sound bite opportunities when that sudden occurs. We really need to get to the root of the problem and find out and deal with what's creating this violent young people.
Right, definitely. For those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking with Kenny Barnes. Is a gentleman who experienced tragedy in his life. Simply put, his son actually was shot in front of a store on U Street, which is a pretty familiar street here in the Washington, D.C. area. And he started the organization Root, Inc., which has been an advocate of gun violence. And one thing, to be honest, we definitely had a few opportunities now to meet and definitely look forward to sitting down with you on a one-on-one basis. But one thing I have admired about your organization is you guys have actually, I feel, teamed up with the hip-hop community.
Yes.
And I've noticed a lot of these organizations, and I'm just being honest with you, sir, and just based on my perception and a lot of the younger kids I talk to about this matter, they feel that everyone talks down to the hip-hop community. Everything is the hip-hop community's fault. But with your organization, it's totally different. It seems like you guys are trying to work with the hip-hop community instead of, you know, just beat them down, in a sense. And I definitely want to commend
right.
you for that. But talk about a little bit about that for us.
Right. First of all, yeah, hit the nail on the head. We, first of all, need to understand that I represent the future, really. I can give advice and counseling, and what happened to me, as tragic as it is, it's no worse than what's happening to parents all across this country today. But we need to understand that there's a culture out there that young people are a part of, and instead of going and lecturing them against the ills and the evils, they don't pay me any attention. We need to have the hip-hop community involved in what we're doing. So we reached out, and we joined with KRS-One, who has a Stop the Violence movement. And he's been out of call of hip-hop artists to work with us together to start a national campaign bringing in hip-hop and bringing in the industry to deal with it from a proactive perspective. There is no question that the music plays a role in the violence from this aspect. That when you take and look at what's going on in our communities, when you have dysfunctional families, lack of fathers, mothers are not there either to a large part. You have violence, you have gun violence, you have lack of education, you have racism, and just terrible things going on in our communities that have existed for a long time, really. But now you throw in the influence of the violence in the music. It does affect people subliminally. And anybody doesn't believe that, I can give you clinical reasons why it does. And it affects you, you don't even know it affects you. For example, why is McDonald's the number one restaurant in the world when the food is probably the most worst in the world? Because we see on TV every day. So you all have to just when you think of something, McDonald's. Because you see it all the time. And that's what happens when you hear it all the time. And so KRS-One is a part of it. They call him the teacher. I went into a hip-hop concert. He invited me up to Madison Square Garden. Must have been 10,000 people up there. And John, I'm sitting on the front row. The whole place is exploding almost. I don't even want to sit down. But when you see that there's this culture, and if you don't understand that you have the people in the culture, because people believe that this is the way of life now. So who do you have to talk to people? You have people in the culture talk to people. And the artists need to step up to the plate and say that our music is a form of entertainment. We don't mean it to be a way of life. We mean it to be a form of entertainment. And that's what we're trying to do.
Right. And that's, like I said before, I can definitely respect that. And I think, to me, the message that you're saying to me personally, and I'm talking strictly from the heart, to me resonates more to me than someone saying, it's hip hop's fault. And I think that's why there's such a pushback against the Jesse Jackson. I'm just being real, the Jesse Jackson of the world, the Al Sharptons, because it always feels like it's our fault. It's our fault. The Don Imus thing, it's our fault. And the way you're approaching it is definitely 100% correct. Now, hip hop is not innocent in the whole matter by any means, but I do think the approach and how, I mean, hip hop is still young. In a sense, and when you think it's only, you know, 30 years old, if you want to talk about in age-wise, hip hop is still a very young culture and it's still learning. Once again, I keep reiterating this, I definitely commend you on the way you are approaching this matter. But what I always like to
do, I'm sorry. For me, Charles, to come out as an older person, first of all, I've got the stigma that I've even got to overcome. How do I know how to lecture somebody about what's bad for them, when the first thing they think is, a younger person will say, you don't even know what you're talking about, for God's sake. How are you going to tell me what to do, and you don't even know what you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that we really, really, really do need to look at, and this is what KRS-One is saying, and you guys know better than me, that there needs to be a separation between hip-hop and rap. Now, I'm not an expert on this. I'm not the one. You guys are the one who need to be talking about it, not me. But KRSA is saying that there needs to be a definitive separation between hip-hop and rap. That hip-hop is not just about music. It's about a culture. It's about a way of life. It's about the way people live and react and communicate with one another. Whereas rap can be divisive. And rap can be gangster, and rap can be negative. Now, this is what KRS-One is saying. Again, then there needs to be that discussion. Not coming from me. If that discussion needs to take place, I'm not the one to lead that discussion. But what I can do, and hopefully what I'm doing, if I get a KRS-One involved, and they're coming out with a compilation CD, and they've got, 200 artists on it. They've got Lil Wayne on it. They've got, and I can't name everybody.
right.
That they have on it, that are willing to step to the plate and say, we want to work with you on it. And we're even to the point now where we want to take Congressional, the Columbia and Congress involved. You were there. You took the pictures for us to get Congress involved. Where we go into cities with Congress and with hip hop and we hold town hall forums and we bring everybody out to bring this to a national attention that it deserves. And KRS-One is already lined up on it, so we plan on starting a tour, a national tour probably in January or February. And working with the artists, we even got Vincent is on the compilation CD.
Right.
He's even on it talking about Stop the Violence. Which is incredible to me because he's one of the ones that's talking about it the most.
right, exactly. And one thing that you just touched on, really, I think is really important. You said you got Congress involved, and I think that's something that we fail to realize on how powerful our voice is once we resound as one, as a hip hop community, and this as a as a black community. I mean, just to be honest with you. So tell us, how do you feel? This election that's coming up here within the next 27 days, how important do you think this is to us as a community, as a hip-hop community?
You know, Charles, this is probably, not probably, this is the most important election in the history of this country has ever had, because there are clear lines and there are clear distinctions that's going to take place. For me, coming as an African-American, it is incredible to me because I never thought in my lifetime that I would ever see an African-American running for president of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
That is just incredible and unheard of from somebody from my generation. So it's already a win from that standpoint of view. But that you have an African-American, he is so obviously intelligent, so obviously brilliant, and you're looking at this guy with his shoes on the other foot. And if you look at, imagine if that Barack Obama's daughter is 16 years old or pregnant now on her baby. These people turned that around and made him look like his daughter, that their daughter was a hero because she didn't get no brown boys in her body. They made us look like we were sluts and hoes or something. You know what I mean? It's not happening with his daughter. When you look at that debate, you looked at a man who was Cain, who really had nothing to say, was just saying, my friends, and we got to get together. And you looked at another man who was on top of all the facts. I just marveled at his intelligence and his calmness. And excuse, they did everything but call him the N-word now. The Bible just says call him the N-word for God's sake, because I think more than everything else. And I can't but admire that. And now we're getting in a situation now where young people don't care about the racism. It's older people like that. Only young people don't really care about that. They want to know about their future. So it looks like to me that there's no doubt he's going to win that. And we need to get out and vote. We need to make sure that he wins. Right. Now, as far as what we're doing, in order for us to realize that there's an epidemic, we must have an awareness campaign. It's like we're drunk, our mother's been drunk driving there. Prior to their campaign, you could be drinking and driving, no kids, nobody cares, there's no boys in that world, nobody cares. But once they came out with their campaign, they made it a national issue. So now the whole United States is concerned about drinking and driving. And the manner that the way they did it was, they didn't really come out and attack anybody. They weren't negative against the car industry. They weren't negative against the liquor industry. They said drinking and driving. So in our campaign, we are not calling out against Second Amendment. We don't care about your right to bear arms. That is irrelevant because the fact of the matter is, it's really not about guns. It's about a mindset.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying, Charles? It's about mindset. It's not about guns. Guns just make it more expedient for somebody to kill somebody. Because if you didn't have guns and we still had the same mindset, we would be killing each other with baseball bats or knives or something. So that's what we have to deal with. So it's not about Second Amendment issues. It's not about the right to bear arms. It's about conditioning people's minds and understanding that we don't need to hate each other at this level. And so this is the first time anybody, we got Congress, we have the hip-hop industry, we have academicians, we have people like Charles Ogletree interested in what we're talking about, we got people like Minister Don Muhammad, the Nation of Islam, from Boston, we have the American Vice President of the American Institute of Research, we have the Irvin Institute, Vice President of the Irvin Institute, we have the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, we have families that have been affected. We got at least 50 co-sponsors on the bill. So we have a movement going on now, and that is looking at violence as a public health issue, not an illegal problem. But you got to keep locking people up. That's not the way it started.
Right. One thing I always feel is important, and I know it's difficult to do in a five-minute span, but I do want to touch on, what can we do as a community as we get off this phone and when we get off, you know, the internet and all these different things? What can we do as a community right this minute to affect change in a sense? Voting, we've already said, is definitely the major thing, but what can we do as an everyday thing to kind of affect this change?
Well, what we need to understand, first of all, and the name of the bill is the Community in Action Neighborhood Development and Opportunity Bill. We need to understand that the community needs to take the lead. What we need to understand is we can't depend on politicians. I mean, it's so frustrating dealing with these politicians because their main concern is about them, about getting reelected, about their funding to get reelected and get back in office. That's their number one concern. And you see, John McCain is a man. I can't make up my mind, but he's more like a next percentage or Goldwater at times. It's a weird thing. Okay,
right.
Because he says anything to get elected, and then he picks his bimbo for vice presidential candidate. Well, now we realize he's not my bimbo, for God's sake. All right, that's what he thinks about this country. And so, and we have it at local, levels as well, where politicians select people that make them look good and fund them, and violence keeps going on. So we have it at local, we have it everywhere. So we need to understand that we need to take the lead as a community. We also know that as a community, most of the time, we don't trust police. And don't get me talking about the clergy, because some of your people are going to get offended. Because some of the biggest offenders and the biggest PSs out there are members of the clergy. We got in Washington, D.C., we got members of the clergy in Southeast that won't speak to members of the clergy in Northeast.
Right.
Now, how in the world can you be a minister to try to do intervention with problems with my music, and you can't even talk to another man of God. But I mean, that's crazy. Okay.
Right.
So as a community, we need to step in. We need to take the lead, and then we bring in clergy, community, and police. I mean, clergy, police, and government, and then we tell them what they're to do for us. That's what we need here. Not the other way around. Don't let them come and tell us what they're going to do for us, because obviously what you're saying and doing is not working.
Mm-hmm. Right, definitely. Well,
I do want to commend you, of course, for, you know, again, all the hard work you've been doing with your crusade and of what you're continuing to do. But again, with your crusade against violence, I mean, you've taken this to the steps of the John Wilson Building. I mean,
yes.
You've taken this to Howard University. And just to kind of update everyone, where are you guys going next with this crusade?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me give a website and phone number, too, if I may. Mm-hmm. People want to look us up. They can reach us in Washington at 202-332-7668. And they can look at our website. We have two websites. One is www.rootinc.org. And the other one is www.roottv.org if you want to look at some of our videos.
Okay.
And Charles Building will have your pictures up pretty soon. I really appreciate that. We're supposed to commence tomorrow, too, Charles. I'm not sure. We spotted the email. I don't know if you saw the email or not. But what we're trying to do now is we're trying to organize this building in Congress. We're trying to get final our relationship with the Harris One, the Stop the Violence Foundation, and some other things we're trying to do. And we don't know where we really want to kick that, the movement, the tour off yet. We're working on negotiations as far as that's concerned. I know we're supposed to be up in Philadelphia next week. You know, they have this big event up in Philadelphia, season. And I know we're going to be up there trying to get around there. And right now, we're still doing our thing in Washington. But in Boston, we have a chapter in Boston that we're working with. And we established a chapter in Boston. So we just, right now, at this NBC, we're putting things together. Now, you can say to you tonight as well as Charles, you want to talk about.
Right. Well, like I said, I would definitely like to continue the conversation. So we definitely want to have you on again. But one thing I do want to say, and I think I said this to, I know I said this to to Carmen as well. Anything that we can do to help, we're definitely we'll be happy to help, because we do feel this is an important issue, especially the gun violence in our community. And
well,
it's not just,
we really do appreciate it. It was a young lady, I met her.
Right. I definitely look forward to sitting down with you, and we're really going to talk about how we.
Now, who's your co-host? Who's your co-host?
What was that?
The young lady.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, I didn't know your
name. My
name
is Copia.
What is your name? I'm sorry.
Oh, my name is Copia.
Okay, good. I didn't know your name. Okay. Now, Charles, we'll see you tomorrow, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna be in touch with Carmen, and we're gonna schedule that. So we're gonna sit down, and like I said, we're gonna go over some stuff. And like I said, once again, sir, it was definitely an honor to have you on. We look forward to having you on again.
It's an honor to be done with both of you.
All right, have a good one.
All right. Thank you.
That was Mr. Kenny Barnes from Root Inc. I'm going to give you guys his website again, just in case you missed that or missed the number. It's rootinc.org. That's rootinc.org. And he's working right now with KRS-One to Stop the Violence Movement. He's working with us as well. We're trying to do really bring something back to the community and not just take – we really promote the entertainment stuff, but it's so much more than that. With what we do as a website, so.
And we definitely have to have him on again, because for some reason there was just a little bit, I think, of static there. I just couldn't.
Yeah, it was
hear
a little bit.
Well,
yeah.
And so I hope that, again, Mr. Kenny Barnes, if he is listening, I hope you do not take offense to that at all. If if I was not asking as many questions, there was a little bit of static with system here. But that's why we want to have you on again, so that we can, you know, do this again, second time around, much better, in so that, you know, we can definitely get the full effect to the viewers of the message you're trying to get across.
Right, definitely. But we're going to make our way out of here. I really don't have anything else. at this point. It's about that time. I will go by so quick. Wow. Is there anything else you want to say, Ms. Shackley?
Oh, so are you referring to the That's Whack, right?
If you want to go to that, we got it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right? Okay. Yeah, so now, of course, we all know about Khalees, okay, who was the wife of Nas. And she's known for her retro look and sound, and, I mean, some of her sexually suggested songs like Milkshake and Blindfold Me. However, is Khalees really showing her milkshake to the boys of the world? Because there is actually a rumor going on that Khalees has a sex tape out, y'all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the thing is that Nas is not in the sex tape either, so...
Oh, wow.
Obviously with some other guy in a sex tape, and it's out there somewhere. So I don't know. We'll have to see, but hopefully she's not doing any blindfolding me in the video.
Oh,
so.
Man, that would not be a good look. That would so not be a good look.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's definitely – that's an embarrassing one. I don't even know if I call that whack. That's just embarrassing.
Yeah, because, I mean, her and Nas, they kind of, like, did have a falling out for a little bit, so maybe this was behind it. But,
right.
I think everything's fine now, though, but.
We're going to see. We're going to see. I know it's going to be a whole bunch of people Googling as we speak, seeing if they can get their hands on that, but we'll, like I said, we'll see what happens. But that's definitely a whack moment. That's definitely a bad whack moment for the week.
Yeah.
Definitely, be on the lookout tomorrow. We have a comedian by the name of Samson. So we're going to go funny tomorrow. We got a real serious talk today, really, you know, about the gun violence. And we definitely have Miss Tia Day, who is an excellent singer. And definitely make sure y'all check it out. But tomorrow we're going with the comedy thing. So make sure you check that out. 7 o'clock, as always. That's it for me. I'm done. Anything else?
That's about it. Yeah, you know, again, we're looking forward to the Howard Homecoming, so we'll be coming to a place near you in D.C. sometime soon.
Yes,
so but other than that, you know, again, what teammates were saying, we'll catch y'all tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
So I guess we got to end this right.
Like we always
do. So y'all,
do.
Yeah, we got now.
We don't care who got next.
All right, y'all.